Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
It's Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on that cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doc, you homie. Fuck that. Black dude, holla.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm back. It's your boy J. Cat Morris. And then I'm also joined by Nico Sozio.
What's going on, man?
Hey. How's it going, man?
Boy? I'm
doing
all right. Doing great, man.
Yeah, man. So, you know, we haven't done this for a while. And we haven't done this for a minute. CZW decided to not do Cage of Death anymore, so I don't know how much we factored into that decision, but you never know.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're probably the reason that they don't do it anymore. You know, that and money, and you know, their fearless leader who finally got what was coming to him. You know.
Yeah, it's wild, and even this to me is even crazier because it's not even just like putting on a finale of your year of wrestling shows, it's going to something you're not doing anymore.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. Makes no sense. And then you've watched it and I've watched it now, and no aspect of this made any goddamn sense.
No. Not a single member of their active roster was on this show. Not non-tournament, not in tournament, nothing. Like I've never seen a tournament of death quite like that.
Yeah. I mean, they might as well have just kind of branded this as another company. You know what I mean? I was pretty surprised to see too that there was no filler matches. Like there was no matches between the rounds to give the deathmatch workers a break, which is, you know, would have been nice, but what the hell do I know?
Yeah. I mean, they could have done something and spun it off and kind of did like the first Tournament of Death where they, you know, Zandig presented Tournament of Death because it was Lobo's deal and, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
You know, they could have said,
cool.
You know,
yeah.
Had the biggest heel in their company, whoever that is, because I don't even know who works there, but just say, hey, we're going to bring things back to the past and have, like, the faces fighting it or whatever, or vice versa, and then put this thing on, you know, under someone else's heading.
Right, yeah, like you see so many other companies do nowadays, like, for example, Joey Janela's Spring Break, or, you know, insert some other indie person, Effie's Gay Brunch or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they do something like that.
Mm-hmm. So one part of a CZW tradition that they decided to keep in was to misspell the shit out of everything on their shirt and then put it out for sale.
Dude, it was wild. Like, three, like at least three fucking names on there were botched. Butcher, yeah. Orin Vite, I think was Orin Vert or some shit like that. And what the hell was, what was the other one? I know there was three at least. There was at least
inane
three errors on there.
Yeah.
Oh,
inane,
yeah. Inane. Inanely. Inanely. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't understand how you don't check this. Like, how is there not a print, like, sent to you by email? Like, just, hey, finish those shirts up before I print them. Want to check them out? Like,
dude,
holy shit, dude.
Jesus Christ.
Spell check. Something.
Dude, I mean, as you know, I've been in design and graphic design for fucking probably almost 20 years, and I can tell you from a professional standpoint that it is standard practice to send the customer a proof to approve before printing. But again, I'm a fucking expert, but what do I know?
Yeah, because, I mean, even on Twitter, someone was making fun of it and saying DJI no can spell, and Shannon, who's the spokesman of CZW now, she responded saying the printer no can spell. Like, oh, isn't our deal. You guys sold this fucking shirt to people. Like,
right, right. Yeah, you, okay,
the
so the printer can't spell, but you, yeah, like, you're still going to sell these goddamn things, you know,
yeah.
Which is wild. Wild.
And, like, did you pay them full price on that? Because, like, if you didn't, if they knocked off money for the misspelling, then these things should have went for $10 at the merch table, no?
Oh, you would think so. You would think so. But, I mean, I'm sure they tried ripping everybody off for at least 25 apiece, at least.
Yeah. I mean, Necrobutcher, butcher is an actual word. Like, there was a red line under that when they put it in the fucking computer. That
yeah,
was insane.
Yeah, there should have been, yeah. Yeah, right. No, there should have been red lines all over the place and fucking in their document there, but I guess whatever fucking design software they were using doesn't have spell check.
Right. So then, obviously, attendance was lower than usual, to be expected. They don't really have a following anymore. They even had free beer. I saw they had all sorts of sponsors, which stood out, and we can get back to later, but I've never seen quite as blatant of that where, you know, they announce a wrestler and then go, oh, and he's sponsored by Jerkoff Sub Shop up the road. And you're like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. So you're just going to tell me who paid for this guy to come here? Or, like,
right. And I'm sure they didn't, these sponsors, quote unquote, didn't pay that fee. Like, they probably paid something to have their company's name read or whatever during the intros or before the match, but there's no chance that any of these places were coming up with a couple $100 to cover these workers' trans and, you know, however many, hopefully hundreds, they were paid to perform. But I'm willing to bet that these guys didn't make very much to do this.
No, I couldn't imagine. So, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is kind of silly. And, you know, to start the show, you get the CZW Studios logo and theatrical music as if, man, they really got their shit together. They are professional. They're putting out high-quality productions. And then you see the field and no entryway.
Yeah, like, you just look off in the distance. Like, I was so startled that, like, you know, the show opens up and you're just staring at what looks to be one of those, like, dump basins for, like, when a house is being cleaned out, like, or like a house is just being, like, demolition or something, when you're just throwing all the trash and debris into it. Like, you just, the show opens, you're staring at one of those, and then off in the distance, really small, out comes waddling fucking Otis Kogar, making the 100-yard march to the ring from fucking no man's land. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think when Otis came out, there was a truck, which was an upgrade from the wrestling
show. Yeah. Like, but, yeah, just nothing. You guys couldn't even get, like, literally three fucking poles, you know, one on the left, one on the right, and one across the top, and throw a black curtain on it. Like, what happened to all the ones from years ago? Where are they? Like, we don't have those anymore? What is going on?
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is these fans are challenged. I mean, if you told them, hey, I need 18 poles, they'd show up with 20 of them just to make sure you had enough. You know, they'd bring their mother's curtains there to hang it off the fucking thing. Like, you really don't even have to pay for it.
No, absolutely not. I mean, obviously the fans were still very participatory with the bringing the weapons for that match. And, you know, there was a lot of creative shit that I saw flying around out there. I'm sure you could have gotten them to bring a couple of fucking aluminum poles.
Yeah. Yeah, something. Jesus Christ. So, yeah, out from the side of the truck comes Otis Kogar, who, I mean, before the match, you just got to know that, like, Shannon's opinion on Otis Kogar, this is post-show, she posted, listen to me, Otis Kogar is a massive, massive star. It was a pleasure to work with him this weekend and see his genius firsthand. Can't wait for 2023. Please book this gifted performer. Keyword gifted.
You could have just stopped at massive. You know what I mean? You could have just stopped at this massive, and that's it. Because that's really about all he is. This massive, definitely not a star.
Right. And it's kind of a slap in the face. A lot of the wrestling to me is just very insulting to the intelligence. And you know, when it says, like, yeah, can't wait for 2023, meaning we wouldn't even consider booking you for the next 2 months of this year. Like, because if you stumbled upon a massive star, you'd be like, dude, what are you doing next month, right? Like,
right.
No. The next time we have a
2022. Yeah. 2022 was obviously not his year, but next year, by all means.
Yeah. And then Bobby Beverly comes out. I've seen some of his work, and I think he's pretty good. I mean, I'd say average. I mean, he's able to do, you know, regular matches, death matches. He's one of the Ohio guys.
Okay.
So I don't know. He comes out. They got barbed wire contraptions. They start right hot and heavy, spear into the barbed wire board, no sold. Where he gets up, Otis hits him with a horrible spine buster where his shirt comes off when he fucking does it. I guess that's the genius bleeding through.
Yeah.
The genius that he could get undressed while performing a spine buster. I think that's the massive star.
And then he also had to put it back on before he could continue. I have it on right now in front of me because I was just figuring I would kind of click through it again as we're talking here just to refresh my memory. And I literally noticed this time, as I watched it this time, I noticed that he had to, like, stop, put his shirt back on, because God forbid, you know, you just continue with the singlet that you have on. Like, you know, fat guy syndrome.
I don't know if I remember ever seeing someone's shirt, like, accidentally come all the way off during a move. It reminds me of, like, if someone got in a fight at a barbecue or something.
Yeah. Dude, it was wild, though. But like you said, though, like, I was totally, like, pissed off right off the bat. I was like, oh, cool. Okay, cool. We're just going to break these barbed wire boards with no build-up and then followed by no selling. I mean, this whole match had tons of fucking no selling, no story, no psychology, no nothing. Just, like, yardy shit after yardy shit. And, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then they take the thing to the outside, and both of them sold it like they were getting a tattoo, like enduring it, but trying to be tough through it and not really show that it hurts, and both in, like, kind of the seated position, just kind of like, wait it out, wait it out. It's just like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
Yeah, man, there was just so many, like, I mean, obviously, when I'm watching these things, I'm coming from a different perspective, a much I don't want to say much more critical, but like a fundamentally critical standpoint. And there was just so many problems with it. After one of the barbed wire bumps that was like through one of those barbed wire webs or whatever the fuck it was, one of them grabs a cheese grater and then proceeds to use it where nobody can see it. Like, one of the main things you want to do, if you're going to go out of your way to take some stupid shit, like a cheese grater, is make sure most of the fans can see it. Like, don't be huddled over on, like, the side of the apron where nobody can see it. But, you know, again, what do I know?
Yeah. Yeah, and this came to a finish when Otis took the barbed wire thing on the outside. Again, and then Bobby Beverly just hits him with multiple weapons. Like, he's not sure which one he wants to use, because it would be, I would think, easily just as effective if you kept hitting him with the one weapon. But he would just alternate weapons until the ref was like, that's too many weapons, you got to stop doing it, and they called the match.
Yeah, like, and I guess he technically won by knockout, and then, you know, which is a stupid fucking finish. But I mean, even more stupid is that Otis loses by knockout, and then I think maybe it was 20 seconds he was up and at him. It's like, hey, either be knocked out or don't. Like, what are we doing here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no help to the back, really. Just kind of, all right, it's another day.
Yeah, I just took a little nap. I'm good. I can do it.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So then out from the pink dumpster, Big Joe comes out, and I've seen him before. I think he's pretty good. I don't really understand his gimmick. He's got, like, the business up top, diaper down bottom. I'm not really sure what that's all about. But, I mean, it lends itself to be crazier because his legs are just fucking exposed in death matches. But, you know. I mean. And then the wife beater comes out.
I understand it. Yeah.
The wife beater comes out from the pink dumpster, and he's got just, like, some country song. He's super fat now. And, you know, I've seen these guys in a match before. You got, it was one of those deathmatch tournaments, and they had Necro and Joe, and they didn't get past the punch segment in the front of the match, and Necro got legit knocked out, and they just called the match at that.
Wow.
So I think this was, like, part two, I think, of this. At least, if not part three. Leading into this match.
This was wild.
Yeah. Leading into this match, too, they had, promos going into it, and Big Joe was, like, it seems like they're just making that whole MAGA thing into a gimmick everywhere Necro goes. So he was, you know, going, fuck America, you know, all of this. It was never great, all of that stuff. So that's, like, the way that we're leading into this match. Just saying that once we get to the end of the match, it makes less sense. But it's just silly. I don't know. I mean, they get into the thing. Necro, I mean, he was near death, and now he's just big and fat. And they were using a Rubbermaid trash can at some point, which, you know, it's one of those things that I'm just like, don't do it. Just stop doing it. You're using glass. You're using bats. You're using barbed wire. And then there's a Rubbermaid garbage can.
Yeah, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. And I mean, this was another match that started off with at least there used to be an effort to do a little bit of wrestling up top in these matches, you know, at least maybe a tie up or a struggle or a, you know, not that there doesn't need to be a bunch of chain wrestling, obviously, but there was some wrestling before, like, all the plunder and shit came out. And this started again with broken glass immediately, followed by what appeared to be two plexiglass boards that didn't break when Necro threw him out of the ring. I'm like, oh, okay, that's matchy to have plexiglass. And then they fucking went into the crowd where the cameras couldn't follow, you know, which is always great footage for either a stream or a DVD to just have content you can't watch or see. What the fuck else happened? Necro looks like every fucking old racist in South Central PA where I live. Like, he just looks like every fucking one of them. But yeah, I mean, like, this was just more fucking sloppy garbage with a back suplex into glass for the finish, I think, right? I think that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was, and at one point, Necro tried to do that chair slam thing, and his legs just gave out, and I don't know if that was, like, he wasn't working the legs or anything. I don't think that was supposed to happen.
No. He probably just fucking couldn't handle it. but I will say that this, the Big Joe kid looks like he could be good. I haven't seen too much of his work. I mean, just based on his look and his size and, you know, the way he carries himself, I think there's a lot of potential there. But, you know, he's got to stop doing this stupid shit, you know, just to get over for the sake of being over. But I think he had one of those diabetic things on his arm, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he looks like he's got one of those things. I don't know. Like, on his left arm, he had one of those things, like, covered up, you know, like, I guess where people either shoot their insulin or test their diabetes. Like, you know, there's, I don't know if you're familiar with that shit, but I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. But yeah, it looks like he had some sort of medical thing on his arm, but I could be wrong.
Shit. Yeah, I don't know. But then,
like,
you know.
Yeah, stop fucking around.
Joe wins, and then Necro shakes his hand, but it's like, all right, wasn't this the guy saying fuck America? He's just like, yeah, I see your point. Like, what the fuck? This isn't just like, you know, you went into the match and then you earned each other's respect. Like, his whole stance was like, fuck your country. And he's like, all right, man. That's cool.
Yeah, man. I think these guys, especially nowadays, like, they're still happy to, like, make it through these matches and not fucking have to, like, they're just so happy that they're not dead or have to start a GoFundMe that they're probably like, oh, man, let's hug it out. We did great. Like, we survived, man. Let's just shake hands and fuck kayfabe and fuck the build up, fuck the feud. We're just happy to be alive.
Yeah, I almost said you know, the Heat can't even make it back to the curtain, but there was no curtain, so that's irrelevant.
Yeah, they just have to have like the walk of shame through the field, the 100-yard fucking death march.
Yeah,
that was crazy, dude. Crazy.
Yeah. So then Brad Cash walks over. Now he's here. And it's like they must have had this, like, hey, stay clear of this whole side of the field because we don't really have a ring entry, so this is kind of all it. They must have had to steer that crowd away from that whole area.
Yeah, I mean, shit. It's like if you're not going to have the entranceway, at least maybe put the fucking truck closer to the ring so they could at least come from behind the truck that's only maybe 25 yards away instead of 100. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So then Insane Lane comes over, and he's got just, like, wild, like, swim trunks and like, a cape and just I remember he was having some kind of mental breakdown, and he sold all his shit on Facebook and quit wrestling and everything else, and he's lost a ton of weight. I mean, I'll give him that much, but I don't know what the fuck this gimmick is anymore now. I guess when you go with Insane, you could just fucking wear anything.
Yeah, right. It doesn't have to add up or anything. And he's been around a while, right? Because I recognize his name. Yeah, I mean, I just wasn't too familiar with him, but I knew his name. So I was like, oh, okay, so this guy's been doing it a minute. And I could just tell from the way that he was working and carrying himself, I could just tell he was a bit more seasoned as well. You know what I mean? He looked more comfortable out there. He was one of the few people that was, like, at least a little bit concerned with working the crowd and, you know, having some character out there instead of just, like, back and forth fucking plunder for no reason.
This was one that jumped out where who sponsored him. I think that was the first one I heard. They were like, sponsored by. And I was like, oh, that's fucking new. The gimmick on this match was shark teeth, which, what? Like, how many
shark
teeth do you have to get together? Number one.
Right.
How much does that cost?
Where do you get a surplus of fucking shark teeth? I think I was wondering that as well, because I thought it was just a thumbtack bat match, but I guess it's fucking sharp teeth. And one of the bats was covered in like those little bullshit fireworks, like those little poppers, the snaps.
Yeah.
And I was like, those don't fucking hurt. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I mean, it made a cool noise, but they don't fucking hurt.
No, we've all pinched those between our fingers as kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, throw them at each other and shit. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's weird. I've seen people put them in their mouth before. Like, I've seen people chew on those fucking things. They don't do shit.
Yeah, I thought everything about this match sucked. I didn't think anything jumped out. It was just very nothing to me.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes here because, like, I definitely can tell you for sure I put more effort into taking notes than anybody put any effort into this show. But I wrote down, like, what did, they were using a power tool at some point during this match, and I couldn't tell what it was doing. Like, I couldn't even tell, like, what it was or what the fuck it, I guess it was some kind of saw, but it didn't look like it was doing shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that gimmick is not good. I mean, I know they did it years ago with Mox and Damage, and they had the one with the, you know, gimmick broken motor or whatever, so it made noise, but it didn't really move back and forth.
Right.
But, you know, how many times can you do this before it just all looks like shit?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, any power tool is legitimately going to saw someone's head or whatever limb you're attacking off. So let's just stop doing it.
Yeah, right. I mean, and I mean, we're talking about pro wrestling. We know that there's no real competition taking place. But at the same time, we very much want some sort of level of realism, because otherwise, what are you doing, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't like if they bring out a machete and then they're rubbing the handle into the guy's forehead and you're like, just leave it in the back. Like, there's a way to use this. you didn't remember this thing.
Yeah. And I think this they took it home with a shark tooth boogie board to the face, or should I say the forearm, because he totally blocked it like a bitch ass. But, yeah, I think it was some sort of shark tooth boogie board.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah,
I just didn't really understand it. It was like the thing with like light tubes, it has like that big pop, that big reaction. So I think that's a good weapon. You know, the panes of glass, it explodes. It's a good weapon. Some of those things just hurt a lot, but there's nothing to it, you know? And I think shark teeth probably falls into that category. If any of these things actually did hurt them, no one knows about it.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely don't like the sound of fucking shark teeth. That definitely falls under the classification of no noise, no visual, no nothing. It just probably hurts like fuck.
Yeah. So then out the next match, out comes Mickey Knuckles, who's, you know, got a fucking thong on for whatever ungodly fucking reason. And, I mean, she's honestly the MVP of the tournament. I mean, she's...
For sure.
She's fucking enormous, but she works her actual weight. She's throwing forearm spears. Like, she's coming at these motherfuckers. Like, she's legitimately, you know, making shit count.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. She was by far the best worker on the show and best performance on the show, by far.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, didn't get quite the glowing review that Shannon gave Orenvite, who was the next out, who she said, people want to talk about athletes who should be booked far and wide. Orenvite is all upside. A brilliant professional wrestler who can adapt to every environment, even like a dumpster in a field. I was thrilled to have him at TOD and can't wait to do 2023 with him. Book him. Which, again, like, talk to you in a few months at best.
we'll talk to you again when we're playing. Once we need somebody to fall through some fucking glass or some shit, we'll call you again and we'll use you again.
Yeah. I just...
I will say definitely points though for the Garth Brooks entrance music, because as we know from your mom's house, he's a serial killer and we want to know where the bodies are, Garth. But
yeah.
where are the bodies, Garth? But yeah, no. What's that?
Our invite always bothered me just because the whole J.C. Rotten thing. So I had a thing with Ian's son where I had said something like, I just don't see the hype, because they were really pumping him up, because the kid was willing to die for Ian Rotten, and you know, obviously that would lead to them putting him over. And I just said, yeah, I just don't see, I only saw like maybe one match or something. I said, I don't really think he's that great. Well, he heard my podcast, had a match with this kid, and then on the fucking video that someone had to send to me because I wasn't even watching it, got on the mic
That's
and went,
right.
Fuck you, J-Cat. This guy's the truth.
That's
and shit.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, what? The fuck? And
what the fuck? Man, you
yeah,
really
so,
hurt their feelings, dude. You
yeah,
really
so
hurt their feelings.
I paid more attention and confirmed that I felt I was right, that he's really not that great. But he's also got a gimmick that is like, he's the Wizard King in his entrance, but he's a cowboy. So
yeah, what the
on?
Fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't add up. That doesn't add up at all.
Yeah. That's, you know, like I said with Insane Lane, when you're insane, you could just come out with whatever you pick out and be like, well, clearly he's insane, so who knows, you know? But when you're like, I'm a wizard,
yeah.
And then you're like, here's my cowboy hat and some Garth Brooks, and you're like, hold on. This wizard done turned into a cowboy.
Yeah, dude. I'm watching some of these clips now. Like, this shit was wild. Like, I definitely appreciated them working Mickey's exposed ass and, like, hitting her in the ass with light tubes and shit. Like, that's fucking hilarious. But, yeah, I mean, I know it's already been said, but, I mean, she by far was the best worker on the show. And stayed in character, worked the crowd, sold like you're supposed to. Her strikes are legit. Everything she did was fucking legit. You know, I mean, because I know we're doing a good bit of shitting on everything, but I just wanted to say at least a couple of good things. But yeah, just way impressive to be able to work three matches as well. Being in as horrible of shape as she looks is very fucking impressive. Very impressive.
No, Mickey's badass. I mean, she's always been super, super tough. She can always, you know, actually go with guys. And they say that about a lot of chicks, but I don't believe a lot of chicks' offense, whether they say that or not. You know, if you put her in there with another deathmatch guy, you're not like, oh, poor Mickey. You're like, this is going to be some shit, because she really brings it.
Right.
She legitimately brings it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm
sorry, what?
A lot of
first I was just
going to
say, like,
I'm sure pleases DJ. That's right up.
Yeah. No, all I was going to say was, like, in most other cases with intergender stuff, it's just like the guys being really good bases for all the females' offense and making them look good. You know what I mean? In Mickey's case, she's actually beating the shit out of people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she definitely brings it. So then you had Bobby Beverly versus Big Joe. It just didn't, again, this was another one of these matches that I just didn't, I couldn't find much to even say about it. I was like, all right. What'd you have on this one?
Let's see. What the fuck did, I wrote down in parentheses FBTW. Was that the kind of death match that it was? What the fuck is Fans Bring the Weapons. I was like, what the fuck does FBTW stand for? I wrote it down and I didn't remember. Again, like, I think the only shit I have here is, like, you know, once again, it was just immediately right into the shit, like right immediately with the tubes. It was just back and forth shrapnel the whole time, you know, and I don't know. I guess I'm just a stickler for wanting some kind of story being told in the match and not just back and forth shit where nobody's selling anything and somebody won, you know, all right, great.
Yeah. I don't know. Overall, I think even the matches, the way that they're lined up, this is all deathmatch tournaments. This isn't just CZW, but everything's just become one. It used to be, you know, there was a 200 light tube tournament, a death match, or a no rope barbed wire match. Now it's like no rope barbed wire, 200 light tubes, fan bring the weapons, gusset plates, razor boards. We got a lobster in the back. We can fire up a chainsaw if you need. Like, we got all this shit, and it's just one match, and then we got four more matches after this. And you're like, wait, what the fuck? How are you going to actually pull this off where someone cares?
Precisely. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great point because, I mean, all of these matches did kind of blend together because they all, like you said, they all, for the most part, featured all the same shit, you know? If every match has light tubes in it, what makes the, you know, what makes one special over the other, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they all have the same, you know, light tubes used to be reserved for, like you said, a special occasion, like the 200 light tube death match, you know, and if somebody's going to use barbed wire boards, then that's all you fucking use, you know, just barbed wire boards, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I think, that's kind of been another one of those lazy elements that was introduced to death match wrestling that helped kill it for me. It was they would just call it fuckery. I think Larry Legend started that,
right,
too. And he'd just be like, we have all sorts of fuckery out here. And everyone's like, fuckery, that's a funny word. And they're like, good. We're just not tricking anybody. Throw all this shit in there. Want some more fuckery? Yeah, all right. We're done.
I think they were using some sort of bullshit gusset plates, too. Because, like, I'm looking at them now. And, like, even when I think at one point, I think Inane Lane put them on like Mickey's tits or something. Like, I think he smashed them into her boobs at one point. And like, if they were like the legit ones that like Masada got stuck in the arm with and stuff like that, like they would have been stuck in her tits. But these ones kind of just like fell right off. So I don't know what sort of gussets they were using this time.
Yeah. Well, I think too with the boards, it's kind of the perfect storm because you're putting a hard backing behind it. You know, and then when you hit that solid part of the arm, it's just opening, you know, where you got like a soft pity and a, you know, someone's palm pressing it in. It's not quite the same.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I guess that's right. But I remember them being a little bit more like devastating. Maybe the blades were a little bit longer, but I mean, I'm by no means wishing harm on anybody. I just didn't think that they had it. They weren't as special.
Warm blood on a titty.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted.
That's what everyone's looking for.
I wanted some big, sloppy, fucking mushy, purple, bloody titties.
Fucking terrible. Yeah, so then that brought us to Mickey versus Lane. The thing is Lane had the best match of his career, in my opinion, against Mickey, but that was in August of 2008 in the arena. So
right.
This isn't what I wanted, you know. Like, they did all right, you know, but I saw these two in the arena, and this is the one that I always remembered is, like, my favorite Insane Lane match was a match they had in 2008. He had a little run with them until I think when DJ threw him off the balcony is when they stopped seeing him because he broke his shit. You remember that?
That would usually do it. I don't think I remember it too much. He threw Insane Lane off the balcony?
Yeah.
No, I definitely don't.
It was like DJ and Damage when they were doing that gimmick. And they were up
on
the...
Yeah. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
It was bad. But I don't know. This is... average, because, I mean, if that's the thing with me is I'll always judge shit really harshly, but if you show me a better version of what I'm looking at, then I have to compare it to that.
Correct.
You know?
Exactly. You know, right. Like, maybe this wouldn't be so bad if we didn't have anything to compare it to, but all in all, it was very fucking bad. And this match ended with a submission finish I have written down here. I don't remember exactly what it was, but somehow, or I don't know if he blacked out or knocked out, but it was definitely a submission finish or whatever.
Is that what happened here? I don't even remember what the finish was. I know that at some point they did a thing, and I thought this was with Insane Lane, where she was going for the power bomb or something, and then she bit him in the dick. And you don't remember that?
No, I don't remember. I do remember her biting somebody in the dick, but I don't remember what the scenario was. And I just watched the finish again, and she had him in some sort of, like, crippler crossface type thing with barbed wire across his face. And it looks like they did the whole, like, sort of, I don't think he tapped out or gave up, but it was just sort of like the ref called it type thing. So I guess he was knocked out or whatever.
Yeah, which is crazy. I don't understand ref calling shit in TOD or any kind of deathmatch
right.
tournament. Because, like, what's the line?
Right.
You know,
yeah, the idea is you die. Like, that's the idea. Like, the whole idea is to try to kill the motherfucker.
Yeah, like, the ref was still waiting for Nick Gage to come back when he fucking was dying in the back. Like, they didn't call the match. They stood there like, I don't know what to do. He's leaving out
yeah.
the back and they're calling a helicopter, and he's like, I don't know yet, hold on. But they're calling the
yeah,
match.
Yeah, should we ring the bell or, yeah, right, what the fuck?
So, yeah, the finals, and they announced Mickey as the hardcore grandmother instead of the hardcore godmother, which, at this point, fuck it. So the,
I guess the only break that they really got here was while they disassembled the ring and exposed the boards and all that, and I guess put up some barbed wire, because I was like, oh well, they'll definitely for sure have a filler match here, and boy was I wrong.
Yeah, nope. Yeah, it's just seamless. You just see like the next person walking out, you're like, fuck. But clearly it takes time to, you know,
yeah.
put shit together, but not that much time.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I'm sure we'll get to it, but, you know, I guess it doesn't take much time when you already have your construction crew in the backing on the two- or three-tiered fucking structure that they had to bring out like it was an Egyptian pharaoh. Like, they had a whole team of people carrying – they had a whole team of people carrying out this fucking structure for the finish. And then, you know, then a construction crew had to take off a bunch of pieces of wood, stabilizer pieces of wood. I was like, what in the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, it's all gotten crazy with that shit because it's like, yeah, it's this thing that was so delicate that they had to really strap, like, reinforcement pieces to it just to get it to the ring so it didn't break from the dumpster to the fucking thing. Because if it breaks, it's going to take a hard left and throw it in the dumpster. You know, he's like,
yeah, right.
Turn around, guys.
Yeah,
turn
around, throw it in the fucking pink thing. Get it in that pink bin. Get it out of here.
Yeah, but yeah. So that was, you know, and the no ring or no canvas thing, I think is, I think it's another one of those waste things where they're never gonna understand how bad it hurts. And it's just wasted. You can't take a normal bump without it being a major bump.
Yeah. I definitely didn't like the idea of it. I mean, there's so much room for error, and it's so high risk because, I mean, I'm watching even Mickey get in the ring right now. And as you saw, like, all those boards are not stable. Like, if you step on one side, like, they flip up and, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, you're just asking to fuck your ankles up and shit on top of everything else.
Yeah. And then, you know, so they carry this fucking thing out. So who's going to be the one to pour the lighter fluid and light this thing on fire? Oh, the ref. That's the perfect guy. The impartial one.
Yeah. The guy who's like, even though he knows what he signed up for, the guy who's supposed to be trying to stop you from doing that kind of thing is absolutely aiding and abetting.
Yeah, there's been a major shift for sure, because it used to be standard for the refs to even be involved in the death match, and every time they pulled some new shit out, they went, oh no, come on, that's too much. Like, you'd see the look in the
yeah.
like, no, don't do that to him. And then he'd be like, ah, fuck, you did it. You know, like, that was the sell. It seemed to be just like, oh dude, really? Not that shit. You know? Now it's just like, dude, I'll hold the one in for you.
And I forgot too, at the very beginning here, they both Beverly and Mickey are both they both have two tubes apiece, and I don't know what the fuck happened or why but I think he strikes first and then she fires back, and one of hers hits him right in the fucking face. Man, she just hit it right there. Oh my god, like she just hit him right across the face, which completely breaks character for a second, and you could see like in her shoulders and in her posture that like she was like, oh no, oh fuck, like I hit him in the face. Like, are you all right? Like, can we keep going? Like, she totally, like, broke for a second and was like, god damn it, I hit him in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. And, you know, another side suplex off the top, off the scaffolding through this contraption to the fucking hard boards in the ring. Insane bump. I mean,
yeah.
I just...
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
it,
know,
did, it did not... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, fitting bump, you know, to end Tournament of Death, I guess, because it's a pretty fucking severe one, but,
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did not look, it did not look pleasant, and it, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to say, like, it didn't look safe, because I don't know how you particularly do it safer. I mean, it wasn't like, it wasn't like they didn't execute the move correctly or anything like that, but... I think for sure if they were going to do that, I think, I mean, that structure that we're talking about, I think it was just maybe like two tiers of like glass. I don't think there was like any wooden table or anything like that. It was just glass. So
mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm getting at is that there wasn't particularly anything to help slow them down as they were heading towards the exposed ring. So it was just a fucking... back suplex right onto Mickey's back and neck and head, and right where they hit, it looked like one of the boards kind of flipped up like perpendicularly, and instead of being flat like it was kind of turned up on its side, and
yeah.
And hopefully they only sort of got that on their like the rebound bounce and not the initial bump, but like and again, as far as I could tell, I think she was legitimately knocked out. Because they, you know, they threw up the X and they were calling out for help and she wasn't fucking moving. So, I mean, either kudos to her for a great sell job and also kudos to her for if she did get knocked out, because what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they put Bobby Beverly over and I just don't, like, I've never understood this shit from a fan standpoint. Like, the fans aren't, like, that into this dude. They're into Mickey.
Right.
They're following all the shit she's doing. They're popping for her. She has history in CZW. DJ had history of fucking being inappropriate with women. So what better to have than familiar with CZW past Mickey Knuckles go through this tournament and win it, but then they're like, not a Bobby Beverly. And it's like, but he doesn't work here either. So what the fuck are you gaining from that?
Yeah, no, that you're right, and I mean that just really didn't make any sense. I from a veteran to newer wrestler kind of standpoint, I mean I don't know how long Bobby Beverly's been around because I'm not that familiar with him, but I know Mickey's been around the better part of 15 to 20 years. Like, you know, she was training and working back when I was in the early 2000s and shit,
mm-hmm.
but. So I understand approaching this from a standpoint of, well, Mickey doesn't need the rub. You know what I mean? Mickey doesn't need this to, you know, get her over. So what we want to do is have somebody who's over, like Mickey, put over this younger, newer person. But I definitely agree more so with what you were saying, and I think it was a mistake to not just put Mickey over. Like, especially mm-hmm. after this fucking, especially after her performances on this show. Like, she by far should have been the one to win. And fuck everybody else. Like, you can still get Beverly over by getting him to the final round and having a bunch of near falls on Mickey and then just not winning. And then they can
right.
still do the hug it out and handshake, and she can cut a promo saying how great he is or whatever the fuck. But, I mean, she should have for sure went home with the trophy, for sure.
Yeah. And, I mean, it kind of, I don't know, I was saying it, didn't understand, but I should know better because DJ has always been propelled by what works for him. So this is some version of kissing the Ohio guy's ass because he wants to book another one of them later on that won't give him a fucking time of day at the moment, but if he puts Bobby over and then it'll work for him, Mickey's got nothing to offer him. You know, same reason why, what was the asshole from overseas that went, Jimmy Havoc. He went over where nobody gave a fuck about him. And everyone was like, why is this fucking guy going over? And DJ's like, I got a trip to Europe next month. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you know. No, you're right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's 100% the case of the choice to put over Beverly instead of Mickey. But and who knows? Maybe there's a real possibility, too, that Mickey didn't want it. And, like, it was offered to her, and she said, nah, no way. I don't need to go over, and I don't maybe. Want it. You know what I mean? But, I mean, she'd be the first fucking wrestler ever to refuse getting put over, though, you know?
Yeah, you never know. But, yeah, so out comes fucking fat DJ. DJ comes out. What I've never understood about fat people, because, you know, hey, look, I mean, some people, they have problems with their weight. They're never going to get it under control. It's just in their DNA, whatever it is. But when your shirt doesn't reach the bottom of your stomach, I think it's time for the next size. It's not covering the skin that you're buying it to cover. Like, that's the whole purpose of the shirt, is to cover everything up top. The pants cover everything down bottom. And if it doesn't, you got to get in more pants, more shirts.
Yeah, you need some more fucking real estate on your clothing to cover the fucking fupa, dude.
Yeah. There's no way you didn't have extra of that misspelled shirt.
Right. You know you got that shit in 3 and 4X. Right. But just fucking tape it on there.
Yeah. I mean, personal trainers have been canceled. You know, I mean, I don't know if they canceled them too.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we heard about those students, but we're not training you.
I was actually surprised to see him out there at all, because, like, I was just under the impression that he was, like, a completely silent partner now. You know what I mean? I thought that, like, he was not allowed to show his face anywhere ever. I thought he was just kind of like, you know, just in behind the scenes, like the fucking, like the Wizard of Oz. But, yeah. I mean, obviously he still had to go out there at the end and get his little shine, you know, as if anybody gives a fuck.
Yeah. I mean, it's his house though. So, I mean, it would be funny to see him peeking out the window all show, or like, where's Waldo going throughout the fucking field? See him peeking from out the dumpster, you know?
Like up in like a tree stand in like one of the trees, like just fucking with a pair of binoculars. That would be fucking great.
But I guess at this point he's harder to hide, so fuck it, right?
Oh man, he looks fucking rotund, and I love it.
And ironically enough, when your name is DJ Hyde, and you have no chance of hiding.
Correct.
Yeah,
fucking
man.
Fat, grimace motherfucker.
Yeah. Just a strange tournament because, again, this was, like, thing anymore. Like, they had a show not that long ago, like, in front of the art museum in Philadelphia. Like, this is not their thing anymore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this has nothing to do with the renaissance of any tradition. You know what I mean? Or isn't that what their thing is now? The renaissance of fucking tradition, which is a phrase all in all that doesn't even really make any sense unless you're defining in that statement what tradition you're talking about. It's like, what are you talking about? I mean, they've definitely gotten away from all this and tried to focus on building as widely an ethnically diverse roster as they can. You know, you gotta make up, you gotta virtue signal, you gotta be super woke, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's diverse. I mean, it fucking looks like the NAACP.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
You know, nothing against, like, if suddenly a lot of talented black athletes get, like, a platform because DJ's trying to be apologetic to, like, a whole nother fucking group, then so be it. But that's clearly what's happening.
Correct. Correct. But yeah, I mean, you could just kind of, I mean, it's either that or he just grabbed all the fucking extras from Wakanda Forever. And he's like, oh, you guys could all be wrestlers. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's a weird shift. And then, you know, a lot of the backstage, the behind the scenes kind of stuff, it's like they're trying to go under this guise of kind of family friendly, but you got Shannon doing like cross promotions between that and XPW, which obviously Zandig's worst fucking nightmare is one person promoting both of those companies. But you know, it's weird. It's like, you know, on one hand, she's celebrating, oh, I'm so glad they stopped using that Ronald McDonald guy in XPW because he beat his wife, but they're still using Necro, and so are we, and we should just fall back.
Yeah, dude, it's wild, man. It's the way people are able to pick and choose who they support and shit like that. It's just, it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's your thoughts on it? Like that the morality side of things, which is kind of an oxymoron as far as wrestling goes, because there is no morality. But to just like blatantly be like, you know, it's yeah, no, we're not using that guy because he hit his wife, and it's like, didn't that other guy like punch his wife while she was in the fetal position on a chair, screaming for him to stop? That's different, you know, not the same punches we're talking
yeah.
about.
It's wild because I guess it just seems like it's almost like the expression like grandfathered in, like if you've ever heard the expression for like you know, somebody's grandfathered in, you know, and I guess shit like that applies to Necro and it applies to Stone Cold Steve Austin and
yeah.
you know, it's like if you've done enough to amuse the fans and get over and cement a legacy and be influential, then I guess there's a few things we could just sweep under the rug for you. But it's not going to apply to everybody unless you've been quite as influential as the people I just named, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre. I have such a hard time understanding, you know, different parts of that. And it might just be, yeah, well, that was a while ago. We're just going to forget about it. But then don't be so loud about how against the new one you are.
Yes, and I think that's really like the nail on the head is whether or not like we're going to treat the people who committed these crimes or horrible offenses, like whether or not you want to treat them different or not, it is what it is. But certainly be consistent with your views, your standpoint, and the way that you react to those people. You know, otherwise it doesn't fucking make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know if you've seen any of the XPW stuff that they're doing over there. I just caught the other day someone was like, you got to see this XPW TV they have on YouTube. And they run like little TV episodes. It's like clips from their shows and promos and all of this other shit, dildo commercials. And it's just fucking crazy.
No,
and it's
I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah, it's like a shitty little show. I mean, it serves the purpose it's supposed to. I mean, I just say the whole wrestling business now to me is just not for me. But, it's strange because it's like, yeah, they're one of the ones that's canceling this one. They canceled the Ronald McDonald guy for beating his wife. But then they're like, Necro's here, Masada's here. We're really proud of not being canceled. Necro and Drake both have, like, MAGA gimmicks, like, to the fucking hilt. Drake's doing like full on campaign ads, like within the show. It's fucking crazy.
I think the sad reality with that is it's not a gimmick. It's just him, and it's just what. Yeah, we could call it a gimmick all we want, but he's just being himself for the first time, I guess.
Yeah. That's the other part that I don't really I wonder where it goes. Like, do you think it takes any kind of bad turn? Because this isn't just a guy playing a character that some people hate. Some people hate what the fuck he's about.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where that you take that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, I get truly it's the type of shtick where depending on where you're working and what, you know, what state or what fucking outlaw mud show you're fucking working, you're either the biggest baby face or the biggest heel, you know,
right.
Like depending on where you are. So I guess in a lot of ways that's good because you're very polarizing and you
mm-hmm.
will get a reaction everywhere that you go. You will get the reaction or a reaction, but whether or not it's the one that you want, I guess it's to be determined.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird lane. It's definitely something a little bit more realistic than I've seen in the past out of, you know, wrestling shows and gimmicks and personas, because this is something that has actual reality tied to it. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
You got Schlack up against Drake, and it's like, oh, this is Drake's like, yeah, we want to make sure that children aren't trafficked, and Schlack's like, fuck the traffic. Fuck the kids. And he's a face, so it's, I don't know what the fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, wrestling as a whole, I mean, for the last probably, honestly, 20 years has kind of been turned on its head with, you know, heels being faces and faces being treated like heels. And, like, you know, just the old example of that is, you know, like D-Generation X and New World Order being super over and treated like baby faces, and then you've had a guy like John Cena his whole career getting fucking booed even though he's never been heel a day in his life, you know, and
right.
he's done probably more Make-A-Wish events than anybody else ever in the history of Make-A-Wish, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
You know, like let's boo this motherfucker, boo this man.
Yeah, it's wild. I think that was more because people just, for whatever reason, they didn't like his gimmick, and Vince just refused to listen to it. They're like, make him a heel, and he's like, fuck you. I'll never listen to you motherfuckers.
Right.
The day you tell me how to book my show, you can go fuck yourself. I don't care if I lose millions. He's a fucking face forever.
Forever.
Yeah, but, yeah. The other thing I just want to mention, too, because I've been sent it all day long, but apparently Teddy Hart is getting another documentary.
Wow.
And this is, like, on Peacock. It's supposed to be some kind of documentary series, and, like,
what?
I would be surprised to not see him wind up in jail over this, because this is really, like, they did another one of those deep dives where they wind up with way more information about this missing girl than they wanted, you know?
Wow, Jesus
and
Christ.
They all just, like, a lot of wide-eyed fucking people in the promo, like, yo. Like, I don't think they knew what they were getting into. And, yeah, like, him blatantly just saying, yeah, I don't give a shit about that girl.
Wow.
Yeah, like, yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy to me that, I mean, just because I haven't seen or heard hide nor hair of him in a long time, I just assumed he was, like, kind of gone and, like, gone forever. Or, like, I don't know. Like, obviously, I didn't think he was wrestling anywhere anymore or performing anywhere. But, you know, I guess because he hasn't been all over social media or in the news like he had been over the last couple of years, him and, like, all the bullshit with, like, him and Maria Manic. And, I mean, so on top of all that, it's just crazy to me that anybody would be interested at all in producing something about him and then it making it to a fucking a platform like Peacock is even fucking crazier to me. But it should be interesting. Should be fucking interesting.
I mean, they got all sorts of female students talking about how fucking scared they were and how, like, they didn't feel safe.
Oh my God.
And, like, sound clips of him saying that he could have people killed if he wants, and it's just like, yo, this shit is about to take its turn.
Oh man, I mean, I hope so. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm not the wishing bad things on people type anymore like I kind of used to be, but somebody like him, just, I mean, for his own sake and for the safety of others, just, like, he at least needs to spend a lot of time, if not the rest of his life, in fucking jail. You know what I mean? Or he at least needs to be put away somewhere where he can get, like, serious help, seriously rehabilitated, But I don't know, just the way he kind of carries himself and the way he's been behaving and the coverage that he's gotten over the last couple of years, there's just some people I don't think there's any saving, man. Like, I just don't know if there's any turning anything around for that guy.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's definitely beyond damaged. I mean, his delusion
right.
on, like, what life is and stuff is another level. I know he's had been, took a lot of criminal turns.
Yeah, man. Like, once you have fucking, you know, bodies on your resume, it's time to go, dude. It's, you know, you're living, you're the fucking devil, man. Like, you gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had a problem with a lot of the stuff he was doing because the stuff he was doing with cats was really bothering me because I saw, you know, what was going on and I know my stuff about animals. So I saw stuff
sure.
and I was just like, this is some bullshit. And everyone's like, J-Cat's got a problem. Fuck you, cat guy. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, he abuses women? Oh, fuck him. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Isn't this like the kid that tortures animals? The next thing you know, they're a serial killer. Like, oh, shit. Does that actually
right.
happen in life?
Yeah, surprise. Surprise, surprise.
yeah.
People are terrible with that shit. Like, it's wild to me how some people are just, like, they could give a fuck about animals, but like you said, it's the second that it's about, like, people. I mean, but some people are obviously the other way, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't give a fuck about people, but you find out that somebody was abusing animals, and it's somehow worse than fucking abusing people, but...
I lean
yeah,
more,
man,
though,
like,
towards that side.
Oh, yeah, for sure, and I know that. I know that about you, and I think in most cases too, you know, if you presented me with a scenario where somebody had a gun to the, you know, a dog's head or a cat and a human and said, well, which one do you want to live? I would at least start with, well, tell me about this person. Like, you know what I mean? Tell me, I'll make my decision after you tell me about this person because there's a good chance that the fucking human's going to die.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, Teddy, I mean, if you don't see the red flags there to just lend your life to him and just go, like, yeah, what direction do you think I should go with my career? Like, if you can't see the fucking red flags there, you know, I don't know, I feel less bad for you than I do, like, the litter of kittens that were born that'll never be fixed and produce more homeless animals that are now drug around the country to be circus animals and, you know, like those. I don't know. I have a bigger problem with the other thing that had no choice.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Is there anything else you want to go over and just bullshit about or whatever?
I mean, I think that's probably it as far as this show goes. No, I mean, I think, like I said at the top of it, of our little program here, it's I'm very happy for you, my friend, just to be on the mend and hopefully, you know, cancer free and getting better. And hopefully you'll be back to taking care of your animals and back to work soon. But
yeah,
man, I'm just happy about that. And, you know, good shit in that regard.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I got an endoscopy tomorrow, so that's more fun. But
nice.
Other than, you know, just checking more shit off the list to make sure, check this, check that. Now I'm in for whatever I got left in my life. I got in for checkups on a regular fucking. I was a guy who never had a primary care doctor. Every time they asked me, well, who's your primary care doctor? It's like, it doesn't exist. You know, now you need fucking checkups and screenings and blood work and this and that. So this is the fucking long haul, man. If you want to be here, eventually you got to invest in it, even in the ways you don't want to.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you said, so for, like, going forward, like, you have, like, what, 4 checkups a year or something, you said?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about, like, how many, but I'm sure it's a lot.
I thought that's what you said just now. I must have misheard you. But,
yeah,
man, I mean, whatever you have to do, you know. Obviously, I know you a bit more personally than a lot of other people, so I know you got a family to worry about. I know you got a job you care about and a life you care about, so...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm glad things worked out so far so good, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. You're definitely one of the people who've you know, hit me up and checked up on me and everything. I really appreciate that because this shit gets lonely, man. You get fucking, you know, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. You quickly see who's around you, you know, who gives a fuck because
Shit gets quiet. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it does.
But yeah, man, I appreciate it. You know, I'm happy to be able to do this show again with you. And, you know, hopefully CDW does something that we would love to mock again soon, and we'll do another one.
Yeah, man. Fingers crossed they get their shit together for December or January. Maybe they'll put together a cage of shit that we can dissect and pick apart.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, man, thanks again, and hope everybody enjoyed this, and we'll talk soon, bro.
Yep, have a good night, buddy.
All right, talk to you later.
Be good, man.
Peace.
Talk to y'all later. Have a nice night. Stay dry. It's raining again. I'm tired of rain. Makes my grass green. I won't complain about that. That's all I gotta say. I'm outta here.
I love all of y'all and, shit.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
You been in the gym, bro.
You know why?
DJ Hyde, fuck you.
You don't have the guts to be what you wanna be. You need people like me.
I'll listen to your podcast and I'll find everything out. You know what I mean?
You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what I make you?
Good. Black Cheese tells me all the time to listen to what you gotta say because you be blazing people. And I'm like, well, I gotta hear it now.
You just know how to hide it. Me, I don't have that part. Me, I always tell the truth, even when I lie.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Jesus!
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
I'm gonna tell you something straight off the motherfucking press. I ain't coming for no fools.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.